Welcome to We Are the Watchers. Tom. And Leah. Are the Watchers.
Oh, I don't know how I'm going to wear headphones or use hands. Wait. I can put my hands out there.
Yep, slide the headphones in through the mouth.
I'm stuck.
I've got my nose caught like a pig.
I don't even know how to help.
I don't know.
There we go.
Okay. Oh, yeah.
There's all this padding in the head that makes it difficult to get headphones. I tell you what, I'm going to have some bloody warm ears today.
Yeah, they're going to be super toasty.
Yeah, but I got no hat on, so the heat will hopefully dissipate a little.
You're in a shark costume today.
Yep, it's Shark Week.
It was an amazing surprise for me.
Oh, you know, I like to keep you on your toes.
Yeah, it was really good. When I arrived, you were like, I've just got to get changed.
Yeah.
And I thought, what you're wearing is normal. Jokingly said, maybe he'll dress up as a dinosaur. Ha ha ha, classic joke, Leah.
No.
You've done one better.
I'm living every week like it's Shark Week.
So Shark Week is on.
Yeah, it kicked off last night.
Amazing.
So excited.
It feels to me like Shark Week gets bigger and better every single year.
Well, I watched a few nights ago that they had the top 50 moments from the 30 years of Shark Week.
30 years of more shark than you could ever need.
Mm-hmm.
How is there that many shark programs?
Well, it's more to do with they keep coming up with new technology, both to film them or to try and get closer. Mm. So the moments increased in both danger and also complexity. So the very first, I know, I'm
it's
in a
hilarious.
Shark costume.
This is so funny.
My face is poking out as if I'm talking from inside the shark's innards.
Yeah, you are. It's like Moby Dick, but sharks. Oh, we haven't said. This is welcome to We Are the Watchers,
Hello.
Episode 36.
Wow.
AKA Revenge of the Sharks.
Yeah.
Yeah. We've got a lot we're going to get through. Mm-hmm. Comic-Con happened on the weekend.
Mm-hmm.
We've been doing some watching, some trailer watching, bit of news, but Shark Week.
Yep. So, yeah, for the 30th anniversary, it looks like they've gotten a lot of celebs on board.
Yeah.
Which is not something, you know, sometimes they'll get celebs in for promos. Shark Week's catchphrase is, it's not a good week to be a seal. So I can't remember if it was last year or the year before they had actual singer seal being attacked and mauled by a shark while singing Kiss from a Rose.
Oh, I was going to say, I would have guessed he was going to sing Crazy.
Oh, so that would have been
so would have been crazy,
yeah,
right?
That would have been quite
super crazy. So who are the celebrities that you've seen so far during this year's Shark Week?
The three shows that I've seen dropped, and I haven't dived into them yet because I watched the 2-hour top 50 countdown instead to wet my palate. there's Shaquille O'Neal, who he's been on Tanked 3 or 4 times. He's a massive fish guy.
He's a lot of fun too. Like, he's always willing to do these kind of things.
Yeah, but apparently he's like really not into sharks.
As in he's terrified of them?
Yeah.
Okay.
That could be quite funny. Then there's one of Ronda Rousey, and that's her going out in the water, I think to punch sharks, probably to try and beat up sharks.
She has been busy not just being UFC. She's done a bit of wrestling.
She's major wrestling now.
She's fully in.
Yeah, she's full-time WWE.
So she's definitely got the skills.
Yeah, hasn't gotten rusty. And I figure if
she's
last
not here,
year...
is she? Because she might beat you up.
No, I'm saying go for it. Like last year they had Michael Phelps on. And was it last year or the year before?
Yeah.
And it was him racing a CGI shark. Who's faster, Michael Phelps or a great white shark? Spoiler. Shark.
Okay, fair enough.
I could see them doing a similar thing of like Ronda Rousey punching sharks.
Yeah, in the face, and then they can sort of do a myth-busting kind of thing.
Yeah.
Is punching a shark in the face really a way to stop them from attacking you?
Well, Mythbusters actually did that a few years ago, that very thing. And what they discovered is that if you're in the perfect position, it might work. Rather than the nose, you go for the eyes.
Yeah, that makes sense.
But to be in the right position, the shark's probably already bitten you in half. And it's pretty hard to think, oh, I should aim for that eye when your whole body is going, shit.
Legless.
Mm.
I am legless. Do you remember the Aussie surfer a couple of years ago? He was in the middle of competition, so they were able to film it live, and a great white came up to him, and he punched it in the face and then paddled off.
Kelly Slater?
No, the other guy.
Mick someone.
Yeah, you can.
Eddie would go. I don't know. That's my 90s.
Cowabunga dude.
Yep.
Yep.
Hang ten. Aloha. And then the third show, which I'm stoked for, is Bear versus Shark.
Yes!
So it's not...
Oh, good.
What do you think this means, Bear versus Shark?
Well, obviously you automatically think an actual bear, but then I went, no, it has to be Bear Grylls.
That's right.
Yes!
You've correctly deduced
the
thought pattern behind that, because I saw that and I'm like, I'd watch a show of bears fighting sharks.
I'd watch either, to be honest
with you. But then bear's going to eat something awful, maybe a shark egg or like the innards of a shark, like what's in a shark's stomach?
Ooh, bile.
I'd be rank.
Biley. He will probably eat, and I think it's from Iceland, that delicacy, the fermented shark.
Sure.
That's apparently disgusting. I've seen people like Rick Stein and Anthony Bourdain eat that. And the guy who does, who did Bizarre Foods, is it Andrew Zimmerman?
I think so, yeah.
He could barely keep it in. Yeah, sounds disgusting.
No, thank you.
So why do you think we are so completely and utterly fascinated with sharks?
Because they are the apex predator. They're us in water.
And we don't like that, do we?
No, and there's something terrifying about water. Because it's you know, we know maybe 2% of what's in the water.
Mm.
And the second we're not able to touch our feet on the ground, then that's darkness below.
Bit of panic. Yeah. I don't know about you, but if there is night swimming to be done, I don't want a part of it, even if it's in a pool, because I can't see.
Yeah, no thanks.
Usually I'm okay, because I'm Australian, live by the coast.
Mm-hmm.
If I need to, which I try not to, I'll go out into the surf, you know, have a beach swim. I swim between the flags, of course.
Of course.
But apart from that, no, I don't want to do any night swimming. That's because the sharks are there.
Sure. Well, in the top 50 countdown, there was one of a researcher who'd been filming with them, and a shark had come up behind him and nudged him on the leg and then gone in and bitten and, like, bit his tendon off. And then the next number in the countdown was 2 years later, because he came back and helped them with a robotic recreation of what happened to see if they could work out the shark's intent.
And?
It probably didn't mean to do him any harm.
It was an accident.
Yep, it was just investigating.
Just saying hi.
Yeah.
So he's tendonless and still fascinated with sharks.
Mm. But I would look, I'm just going to say, if you want to play a great drinking game this week, just tune in for Shark Week. And anytime they say the phrase Shark Week, take a sip. And anytime they say the word Jaws, skull.
Wow, you are going to have to go into some sort of detox.
Oh, it's... Because it's like 3 or 4 hours a night.
Yeah,
I think there's three hour long shows a night plus the after show.
And then they probably repeat them again at 3 a.m.
Yeah. But like the after show is
Oh, it's like Talking Dead. Okay.
Sitting around discussing sharks and this sort of stuff.
You can't get enough.
No.
You shouldn't have to. So Shark Week's on. Obviously, make the most of it,
because
then you've got 365 days to wait till the next one comes along.
Oh, that's why I'm wearing this costume now.
You look so great. It's hilarious. We're going to put some photographs up on different social media platforms. And if you have seen the photograph before you looked at the before you looked and actually downloaded the episode, this will make sense.
Yep.
Now you'll have the context.
Huzzah.
Become a watcher on Facebook. Facebook.com/WeAreTheWatchers.
We've got lots of news coming out of places like Comic-Con and, just all around. There's been a lot. I did notice that Ezra Miller, who dressed up as, it was Toadette.
Yeah.
So the female version of... Toad from Super Mario Brothers, because he was there for the Fantastic Beasts panel.
Yes.
He last year, now he dressed, I think, now who did he dress as last year? I think it was a character from Full Metal Alchemist. I can't remember who. And 1 year he also went as Gandalf from Lord of the Rings.
Sure. He's very committed.
He loves it.
Yeah.
This one was very impressive.
Yeah.
Yeah, he pulled it out and everybody was very, very impressed.
There's some great cosplay there over the weekend. A lot of people putting in a lot of effort.
Did you see Mark Hamill did a bit of it and nobody knew who he was?
That's the way. That's what you want. Him, I think him and Adam Savage from Mythbusters have a bit of a thing going on, because they both do that of making elaborate costumes and see if anyone can guess them.
So he had, I'm trying to remember what colour, it was orange. It was an orange Darth Vader mask,
mm-hmm.
and he wore like a Trump-like wig on top.
Sure.
So he was like an orange Trump.
Yeah.
And there were so many photographs all over Twitter of people going, oh, I've just figured out who I have my photograph with.
Nice.
So good.
Nice.
Very, very funny. And lots of shows as well, and movies and whatnot were talked about.
Yeah, so strap in. I'm going to cover off some stuff pretty quick. We'll start with Walking Dead, because there was some Walking Dead news. There was a long trailer shown. I think it was about 5.5 minutes.
Which is a long time for a trailer.
That certainly is. They confirmed during the panel that Maggie and Rick will both be appearing in 6 episodes and then wrapping things up.
Amazing.
Whether those will both be the first 6 or there'll be some split across the first 8.
That could easily be done. I mean, one of the things that they've been doing with The Walking Dead since they've had different communities is you sort of check in with one every sort of 2 or 3 episodes. So
they could stretch
could space
it,
them out,
milk it a little bit there. Things that I got excited about in the trailer. We saw the helicopter again floating around. We're going to learn more about that, which is great.
Yeah.
It does look like a civil war might be brewing.
Which we'll be okay with, because apparently all the Marvel characters are coming in because they've already done Civil War, so they're going to do it in The Walking Dead.
I'm okay with that. we saw Samantha Morton as Alpha, who is the leader of the Whisperers.
Yeah. Now, there were sort of people speculating that maybe we already knew who Alpha was.
Yeah.
But that's obviously not the case.
Not the case.
Yeah.
There was also one shot in the trailer of a foot, like a zombie feet, but there was fresh blood coming out, so it really strongly looks like someone's wearing zombie skin.
Whisperers.
Mm-hmm.
Fantastic.
But the key moment of the whole trailer for me was, it looks like Eugene is wearing Rick's clothes. He's got the hat.
Interesting.
He's wearing the police outfit.
Please tell me the mullet was still there.
Yeah. Now, unless this was some eye trickery and they put Eugene's head on the body and stuff, it's a shot of Eugene cosplaying that they showed at Comic-Con.
This is all on purpose.
It's got to be. It's got to be. So I was very happy about that. Another one that went over really strong on the first day was Doctor Who. With the new Doctor. You know, they showed a tiny bit of footage and get everyone excited. It looks like the Doctor's got 3 companions, 2 younger people and an older guy.
That's interesting.
And yeah, they haven't really done that in quite a few generations.
They haven't done a female Doctor before, so they might as well mix it up as much as they possibly can.
Shift the needle.
Yeah.
Let's do it. So that will be back later in the year.
Yeah.
And I am pumped.
But ever since that sort of reboot has happened, there's been a strong following the whole time. But I think this Doctor has definitely generated more interest outside of the Doctor Who fandom.
Yeah, well, look, Matt Smith, who was the 11th Doctor, he was the one that kind of got it big in America, and then Peter Capaldi was the biggest name that's ever stepped in on Doctor Who.
Yeah.
And so yeah, they're in a prime position to shift it up.
It's going
to
be great.
Yes. Some other ones that got me excited, I'll bundle these together in the DC universe.
Mm-hmm.
So you've got Flash, you're never going to guess who's the big bad this season.
Come on, tell me.
Do you remember a guy called Chris Klein? He was in American Pie.
Yes,
he
was
the jock guy who really just wanted to sing. So he's playing the bad guy, a guy named Sakata.
Jeez, I haven't seen him for a while.
I think he's been off doing other things.
Okay.
He was also in Election, which is a great movie. With Reese
fantastic.
Witherspoon.
In fact, I think that was Reese's first ever movie.
Yeah.
I think. Oh, no, she'd done some as a kid.
Sure, but it's a leading role.
It was her breakthrough,
It was awesome. So I'm very excited to see him coming on. But the thing that got me even more excited in the shot, Flash gets the suit that hides in a ring. He has a ring, and it can, when he runs, he can press it, and the suit pops out and kind of goes all over.
Nice. That's awesome.
It's very cool. Next, bringing more of the comic book to the screen.
Which is what people want.
Very much so. Supergirl, they've cast someone as a character called Dreamer, who looks like it's very closely based on Dreamgirl, who is from the 30th century as a whole thing.
A good character, though?
Very cool character. Okay. And it's being played by a transgender actress.
Oh, fantastic.
Yes.
That's so awesome.
TV's first transgender superhero.
That's exciting.
Yes.
On such a big platform as well. Supergirl's very popular.
Yeah.
That's great.
Black Lightning. They showed off some cool stuff for season two. That's coming back strong. Arrow. It does look like we're going to spend some time with him in jail, which is what we were hoping for. There looked to be a giant prison fight happening. Vinnie Jones is back.
Yes.
So a lot of the supervillains and just minor villains that he's put away in the past are going to pop up over the next few episodes.
It almost sounds a bit like the Spider-Man game.
Yes. Well, there was a film written, I think, 10 years ago or something called Supermax that was meant to star Green Arrow.
Yeah, right.
And it was going to be Arrow being sent away to prison and having to team up with some of the people he'd put away to try and break out.
So this is sort of it. Realised.
Yes. Moving on to some of the DC movie stuff. I don't know if you saw the trailer for Aquaman.
I did. It looked really good.
Hey,
it had me pumped for it.
Making Aquaman cool.
I actually watched it a few times because I went, it was fun.
That was pretty good.
Yeah.
We didn't see much of Willem Dafoe in the trailer. They're hiding him away just a little bit.
I like the beginning. I like the way it sort of set itself up.
Yeah, that aquarium shot was very cool.
Wasn't it great? Mm. That shark did not want any of that. Nicole Kidman is in this Aquaman movie as well. I don't think she was in the trailer.
No. Maybe they're hiding that away a little bit. Keep it as a surprise.
Maybe. Amber Heard, of course.
Yeah.
But Johnny Depp was at Comic-Con as well. That would have been...
They were put in the same room at the same time.
So they really were in the same room.
Yeah, so that kind of breaks the restraining order against him, I think.
That's not cool.
No. Some people at Warner Brothers really messed up with the scheduling, I think.
Just a bit.
Mm.
We are the Watchers. Now, the voice cracked. Hi, I'm the voiceover guy, and I've had enough. Toodaloo.
Also, the trailer for Shazam. I don't know if you caught that one.
I didn't see that.
Oh, boy. So it's DC basically making a superhero version of Big.
Okay.
Little boy who's an orphan, comes into a family. There's some other cool kids in the family with various traits and whatnot. He's underneath the city and some weird stuff happens and he goes into the Cave of Eternity or Rock of Eternity.
Of course he did, yeah.
And meets a really old wizard who teaches him if he says the word Shazam, he could turn into a guy that looks like Superman, has magic powers.
This is my childhood dream right
it's
here.
It's every kid's childhood dream. And Zachary Levi from Chuck is playing Shazam.
So yeah,
they're really going slapstick funny with it.
Good.
Yeah.
I think I like the sound of that.
He doesn't know he doesn't understand how strong he is, and he's just very impressed with his own abilities all the time, and sort of stuff.
It's almost got a Banana Man feel to it.
Very much so. Like, how would a 13-year-old boy handle suddenly having Superman's body?
Yeah.
Yeah.
By doing everything.
Yeah. So that's got real strong potential. I'm happy for that. Now, I'll jump over a little bit. It's still Warner Brothers. Lego Movie 2, they had a big panel.
Now, has there been a new trailer?
There was a new trailer
show. I missed it.
I don't think it went out fully to the public. There was some...
Right, okay.
I saw a few images and stuff. I think it was one of those things shown there and not shared wider. But Jason Momoa is playing Aquaman in the film.
Yes.
It looks like they've done a lot of fun casting of some smaller roles.
I've just got a lot of time for Jason Momoa.
Yeah.
I mean, the fact that he's still... I mean, how many years ago was he in...
Baywatch Nights.
Well, yeah, that too. But Game of Thrones, yet he's still totally happy to constantly be referred to and as Drogo and just be out there all the time. He doesn't.
It made
it's
him.
Still here, yeah.
And
now he's going to be Aquaman, properly, I mean, you know. Proper.
Yeah, they've had a few goes.
I think this one's going to work. Judging by that trailer, it's actually got me really excited and amped. And I can't believe we have to wait till December for it. But anyway, enough of that.
So Lego Movie 2, I don't know if you remember the end of the Lego movie. It's the boy's sister comes down to the basement to start to play.
Yep.
So this film is set, this is some more details. It's 5 years after Taco Tuesday and it's now a Mad Max style post-apocalyptic wasteland. There are invaders from the Sistar universe.
Yes!
And they're going to be they're going to be based on Duplo, Lego Friends, all the
which is kind of what you were expecting it to be.
Yes, so it's now what happens when two imaginations clash.
This is going to be so
combine.
Fun, so fun.
Yes, it's got a whole lot of potential, and there's going to be some cool Lego sets that come out with it, which is great.
Yeah,
yeah. What else have we got? So Iron Fist showed season two, a big trailer of that. It looks like a huge improvement on season one. They've gotten. I think it was the guy that did the choreography, like the fight choreography for Doctor Strange and a lot more fighting sort of films.
That sounds cool.
So it's got that, and it's got a lot of the characters from Defenders and the other Netflix Marvel shows.
Sort of tying it. Yeah, doing it all. That's good.
Tying it together. Now, I'm very excited for Glass, which
Glass?
It's the sequel to Unbreakable and, spoilers, also the sequel to Split.
Interesting.
Yeah, so it's a M. Night Shyamalan.
Right.
And it's been nearly 20 years since Unbreakable came out, which is one of my favourite films.
What? 20 years?
Well, nearly. So wow. Sixth Sense was 99, I'm pretty sure, somewhere around there.
Yeah, feels about that.
Yeah.
Yep.
And then Unbreakable was maybe a year and a half later, something like that. And that's with Bruce Willis's Dave Dunn, who discovers that his skin, bones, blah, blah, is unbreakable and puts on a green poncho to go out and try and help people. But it's superheroes in the ultimate realistic setting, the heavy effect it has on those around you and this sort of stuff. And Samuel L. Jackson plays Mr. Glass, the manipulator behind the scenes.
Right.
So that was, the film ended with him seemingly setting things up for a sequel.
Yeah.
And then nothing happened with it. And then Split, which was a few years ago with James McAvoy.
I don't think I saw Split.
It's really good.
Is it?
He plays like 24 characters or something. He's someone with severe split personality, and his body cycles through and his mind doesn't remember. It's very good, and it's not until the very, 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 like Marvel-style very end that there's a huge twist that makes you go, oh, it's connected. Because, you know, it's
love that feeling.
M. Night Shyamalan.
Yeah.
So, yes, this film is McAvoy, Bruce Willis, and Samuel Jackson in a mental institution it's a place that cures people that have delusions of grandeur.
Amazing.
Yes. So,
which also this is something I think Steph would like to watch, because she always stands by the fact that Batman and all other superheroes are crazy.
Mm-hmm.
So this would be right up her alley.
That's the take. Is it all in their head, or is this a real thing?
Yeah, that's awesome.
Yes. What's else? So we've your girl Millie.
Yeah, Bobby Millie. Stranger Pardon Things.
Me. Yes. She had a good showing in the Godzilla 2.
She does well, I think. And she's one of those child actors, except she's not really a child actor anymore. She'd be a teenager. But she's very confident.
I feel like she's going to have an Elle Fanning-esque career. Yeah. Or maybe Dakota
bit
Fanning.
A Fanning sister, the third secret Fanning sister from England. She acts like she's a 30-year-old.
That's what I mean.
Yeah.
And it's going to feel, in 5 years, it's going to feel like we've been watching her for 15.
Which is what the Drew Barrymore effect is, sure. I reckon. It feels like Drew Barrymore should be about 72, but she's not, but she's just been around forever.
Mm-hmm. She's starring in number 2 at King of the Monsters.
How did that look?
Pretty epic.
Yeah?
Yeah, I saw 3 different kaiju that will be going up against Godzilla. Mothra was there.
All right.
Rodan was there.
And the king.
Yeah, and the king.
Amazing.
Yep.
They're bringing big monsters in.
Yes, and they skirted around it, but they're definitely setting up Godzilla vs. Kong, which is going to be the film that comes afterwards.
People will be into that.
I have a feeling Mothra will probably help Godzilla.
What happens, though, if King Kong comes along with the baby from Honey, I Blew Up the Baby?
Oh. And giant Ant-Man.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
She just get all big things.
3 of them.
Stay Puft Marshmallow Man.
Oh, that still scares me to this day.
Rightly so.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's delicious. But angry. I did see quite a lot of stuff on social media about The Good Place.
They had a great showing.
It looked highly successful.
So they've actually put out the entire panel on the podcast this morning.
Yay!
So you can listen to the whole thing, and it's a very easygoing chat, and everyone clearly loves Ted Danson.
How could you not?
Oh,
it's Ted Danson.
He's pretty
dreamy.
Right?
Yeah. That's right.
But they showed a bloopers reel, and there was have a look online. There's some great photos of like a pop-up cupcake stall thing they did.
I did see that.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've seen a lot of that.
It looks like they have a lot of fun.
I think they have a lot of fun on that show.
Yeah, it definitely looks that way. Mythbusters Jr. is happening. So Adam Savage is back, involved with Mythbusters.
Interesting.
Which makes me suspect it was really Jamie that didn't want to do it anymore, which... He never seemed like he wanted to do anything anyway, so yeah.
So he's got what he wanted.
Yes, but it's Adam and six teenagers.
Awesome.
That, yeah, six young people, and it looks really cool.
So is it similar premise? I think so. Are you going to set it up the same way?
Look, I think it's going to be a similar type of program, but they won't be doing as dangerous and crazy
myths.
Yeah,
that's fair enough. Yeah.
I think they'll be exploring a lot of like meme-based myths and you know, viral video stuff. I think there's going to be a bit of
that. That'd be cool. Otherwise, it could almost feel a bit like science experimenting, that kind of thing. What else? I mean, can you imagine being there at Comic-Con? Have you been to the San Diego? I think I asked
you
this.
Yeah, I went 2007 through 9.
And how hard is it to be able to see everything you want to see?
You can't. Yeah. You physically can't.
You would have to miss
there
out.
There are 20 to 25 panels on at the same time.
Insane.
And that's just in the small stuff. If you want to be in Hall H, where most of this stuff gets announced, you can queue up from 4 or so in the morning, and if you leave to go to the toilet or something, that's your spot gone.
Wow.
So you can't get someone to hold.
Wow.
Yeah.
And that's
tough. They also cycle people through, so you can't just sit there the whole day.
Oh, well, that makes sense. Like, well, I can understand that.
It's really, really annoying if there's something you want to see at 8 o'clock,
yeah,
but people have been sitting in there since 9 a.m. and they haven't cared about any of the stuff all day.
Mm.
So that's why they try and...
Mm. Yeah, fair enough.
It's very frustrating, but it's just one of those things you accept.
You just have to expect that you're only going to see some of what you want.
You're going to queue a lot.
Yeah,
you're going to miss out on some stuff. So that's why everyone gets their timetable well in advance and circles things. And, if I want to be in that, I've got to be in line by this time.
3 days beforehand.
Yep.
Yeah, that kind of thing.
In a world that Tom forgot, we are the Watchers.
What else looked good to you there?
Neil deGrasse Tyson showed off a little bit of Cosmos Season 2.
Oh,
yes. Which has been a long time coming. It's Cosmos : Possible Worlds.
Now, is that a net? That's a great name. Netflix?
I don't think so.
I don't know.
I think it's maybe CBS or something. I don't know.
Wherever it's going to be, it's going to be extremely popular.
Yes. And the first one was not, I won't say game-changing, but it definitely rejuvenated that style.
Without a doubt.
Of science / science fiction.
You sort of almost hard-pressed finding someone who didn't watch it.
Yeah.
Even just a bit.
Yeah. So season two of that, and it's exploring other galaxies we believe are there and where other life could potentially be.
I like it.
Yes.
Already gearing up to watch.
Lots of guessing. The last one, two more that I'll mention.
Mm-hmm.
One, the DC Titans trailer, which a lot of people are very excited for because DC are launching their own streaming service type thing, bundled in with comics and all this. It could be very good. It could be very expensive.
Mm.
I don't know. But they are launching with some of their own shows, and one of them is DC Titans, which is kind of like a Justice League Junior, and it's always had like a Robin. Cyborg was in the Titans for a long time.
Okay, I get you.
You know, the junior varsity team.
Yeah, yeah.
And in this, it's kind of like they've done like a Zack Snyder version, and like everyone's dark and gritty. And at one point, someone says about Robin, like, I thought you were always out fighting with Batman. You weren't allowed to do this stuff by yourself. And he's like, fuck Batman.
Really?
Yeah. And it's like, oh. You can't see me, but this shark is sad.
It's the saddest shark I've ever seen. But do you think that... I mean, obviously they believe that there's an audience who wants that version of Titan.
Yeah, but look, they've done Teen Titans Go, they've done Teen Titans cartoon series and this sort of stuff. They've always been light and bubbly, and that's kind of what everyone remembers them for.
Yeah, okay.
So doing a dark, gritty reboot, it could be fun.
You don't know. Yeah, you could, but you're sort of not excited
about
it. For
me, it will all hinge on what... There's a character called Beast Boy. He's a young, like I think he's meant to be about 13 or 14,
mm-hmm,
green guy,
mm-hmm,
who can turn into any animal and stays green.
Oh, so it's always a green animal.
Oh, no, like he can turn into any animal, but the animal itself will be green.
Okay.
So you can always tell where he is and what he's turned into. So it's not like he can camouflage and hide in. It's just like, oh, we need to knock that wall down. I'll turn into an elephant.
Okay. Which elephant is he? Oh, he's the green one.
He's the green one.
Yeah.
You won't lose him in the crowd unless he's hanging with, like, macaws or something.
Yeah. A whole heap of chameleons who are all hanging out in greenery.
Oh, can you imagine what would happen if you put chameleons against each other with a two-way mirror in between? So one of them seeing the reflection and trying to copy that, and the other one seeing the other one watching its reflection trying to copy that.
Yeah, ow.
Yep.
The cosmos in my brain has just exploded.
Well, if you need a break, the last show I'll recommend.
Yeah.
Conan always goes down and does San Diego coverage, does shows down there. His episodes this week were fantastic.
So what, I mean, does he sort of go in there and say hilarious things? How does he
approach it? He doesn't go in there. They book out one of the theatres down the road and do the full live show.
Nice.
Yeah. So there's skits and things that are done around. But the first night was the cast of Breaking Bad. Then they also did the cast of Glass, which was very interesting. You know, they get different casts on like this, and it's just
that's cool.
All the stuff, the opening monologue is all Comic-Con stuff related. So it's real nerdy, and he had Jamie Lee Curtis come out and do a Scream Queen test with him of what his Comic-Con knowledge was. And it was really just a chance for him to fire back really funny jokes.
Yeah.
It was fantastic.
She would have been down with that.
She was clearly enjoying herself. She was acting very school mom.
Can I tell, speaking of school mom, the last thing I saw her in, by the way, how's the shark, I was going to say, how is the shark costume going?
Uncomfortable.
Okay. You look amazing, though.
Yep.
But the last thing I saw Jamie Lee Curtis in was I watched Freaky Friday.
Oh, sure. Great film.
Recently. It was funny.
I have a lot of fun in that one.
I want to see the original one with Jodie Foster in it. I remember watching it as a kid, but that's a long time. Because Jodie Foster, as a kid, was an amazing actor. I mean, she's still amazing, but she had that sort of... I mean, if you remember watching Bugsy Malone...
Taxi Driver.
Yeah. Watch her in Bugsy Malone.
Yeah. Oh, look, she's done great stuff. I think the last thing I saw her in that I probably enjoyed was Panic Room.
Uh-huh.
I'll go with that.
And that's a long time ago.
Though I am quite excited to see her in Hotel Artemis, which comes out in a few weeks.
Oh, I forgot about that.
Oh, boy, I was hanging for
that
this
does
film.
Look
so
good.
It's so good.
It's really
so
good.
Many people involved. It's written by Drew Goddard, who... He's the main director on Good Place. He did Cabin in the Woods.
There's no reason why this is not going to be great.
Yep.
Hey, did you see that Buffy the Vampire Slayer is getting a reboot?
Yeah. I don't know how I feel about that.
Well, I was trying to, off the top of my head, think about when it finished, and I was surprised that it ended in 2003. I thought it would have been way before that.
No, because you get confused because Angel kept going.
Yeah, okay. That makes... Okay.
So there's the crisscross and the spin-off.
Just kept going.
And
yeah, that's right.
Yeah, it's murky.
But what I didn't realise, and you probably would have, is that there was a comic book version of it.
That's continued since, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think they're up to season 14 or 15 on the comic now.
So I, at first, whilst reading this article that I got it out of, I thought, maybe they're sort of taking it from there, from where the original show ends and the comic book continues. But it kind of looks like it's going to be a bit of both. They're going to go back, but it's not. It's got a whole new vampire slayer.
Yes. It's not going to be Buffy.
No. I don't think they've actually got a name released yet. But
there's so many potential slayers they could pull from if it's in the comics.
Well,
at one point, she formed a slayer army.
I love that. Okay, is there a character there that is an African-American girl? Because that's who they're casting. They're looking to go that way.
I stopped reading them 5 years ago.
Yeah, okay. So memory's hazy and also could have happened after that.
I very much more remember that Andrew and like the pissweak three guys that tried to stiff everyone over and one of them lost his skin and... Then Andrew comes back good. Because he made some deal with a demon.
Oh, okay.
The demon took the skin.
Yeah, right.
You know, comics.
Yeah, I know. I shouldn't have
asked
that question.
Buffy already did comic book stuff, but then in the comics it got really comic booky.
And
Willow became like a superhero and all this sort of stuff.
Well, Deadline, the website, said that the new version's going to be building on the mythology of the original. The producers are saying it's going to be richly diverse. There's going to be some original aspects. The aspects will be seen as metaphors, which I do not understand, but I guess we'll have to wait and see.
Sure. We'll see.
I think we've got a while.
We got a while.
What else have you got news-wise?
Two films got announced that... Oh, sorry, not, one's announced and one's, I think, just showed it at a film festival, something that sounds amazing. Which would you like first, the news or the fancy-sounding?
Fancy-sounding, please.
Okay, there's a film with Sam Elliott, who's a slow-draw cowboy that I promise you've seen in 100 movies.
Okay.
He's starring in a film called The Man Who Killed Hitler and Then Bigfoot.
It's almost along the lines of that... Shakespeare zombies or no, it wasn't Shakespeare.
Pride and Prejudice
and zombies, yeah.
So this is about a guy who was in the bunker and shot Hitler, and when as a child or as a young man, he's played by Aidan Turner from the Hobbit films, and he was also used to be on Being Human,
yeah, the English version. He was the vampire.
It's not Outlander, but there's another show like that he's on.
No, it's not.
He's got the long floppy hair.
Yes. He's basically...
Poldark.
He's Poldark.
I think it might be Poldark.
He's sort of like your Kit Harington.
Very much so. So, yeah, he's the young version, and he kills Hitler, and then the official story is instead that you know, what went down. Hmm. And then in the 80s, he's living as a recluse in a log cabin or something like this. Remorseful about having to lie his whole life, and it's pushed everyone around him. So it looks like it's going to be like almost Logan-esque of man at the end of the life looking back on regrets and deciding this one last mission could rectify everything. So he gets asked by the government to go and kill Bigfoot.
So good.
I'm so there for this movie.
I just love the fact that those are the two things that the character will be famous for.
Mm-hmm.
Hitler and Bigfoot.
Mm-hmm.
Cool.
Awesome.
All right. And the other news?
The other one. So I'm just going to say all these things because they're just words in a thing that shouldn't be. Tom Hooper, who directed Les Mis.
Yes.
The film version of that, and done a lot of great films and stuff. He's directing a Cats, the musical film.
Right.
Starring Taylor Swift, Jennifer
she's
Hudson.
She's going to be Esmeralda or whatever the old cat's name is. Hang on, who'd you just say then?
Jennifer Hudson.
Right.
James Corden.
Uh-huh.
Sir Ian McKellen.
Right, yep.
Do you know who's not here for this movie?
Who?
Me.
No, it doesn't sound like your kind of movie.
My mum took me to see Cats when I was in England or something when I was young.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I remember there being a cat named Mr. Mistopheles.
Magical Mr. Mistopheles.
And I know he got up to some shit.
Oh, well, I never.
So do you think that would be Sir Ian, or do you think that's going to be James Corden?
No, I think that's going to be James. I think Sir Ian's going to be the old, I can't remember the names, but the
wives.
Yeah, the sort of the old male cat, and I reckon they're going to dress Taylor Swift up to be the old Grisabella or whatever. I can't remember the name, but she's the one that sings the memory song because she's old and she's remembering.
Is that from Cats?
There's another one that's a Barbara Streisand song.
That's the one.
She's the one I think she would say, and the way we were, that one.
Oh.
I can't sing too much of it for several reasons.
You don't need to.
Many. So Cats, that's weird because Cats was huge in the 80s, probably early 90s as well, right? That was a huge. It was one, for a while, I think it had the record for the longest running musical on Broadway, right?
Yeah.
But that's years ago, so why now suddenly is there a Cats musical movie coming out?
I don't know. Maybe in 2 years we're going to get a real gritty take on Pirates of Penzance or the Mikado, or they'll start getting into the old Gilbert Sullivan.
Yeah, like, oh, man.
Because I'd go and see some of them because they're real cheesy and there's some awkwardly un-PC parts.
Oh, yeah, there are. But so Shakespeare. Like, there are some Shakespeare stories that you're just like, what? Like, even just Taming of the Shrew.
Sure.
The Merchant of Venice, like, that's horribly racist.
Be nice to Shylock people.
Yeah, I know.
It's not fair.
It's not fair.
You made him that way.
Yeah.
Got a watching suggestion? Email thewatcherspodcast@gmail.com.
That was a lot of news.
Yeah, sorry, everyone.
No,
let's
that
all
was
just
great.
Take a deep breath together. We'll I'm going to take a little drink from the sippy cup here.
Yeah.
Because
I cannot wait to see a shark drinking out of a bottle. Brilliant. Thank you so much for letting me see that. That was.
You are welcome. Tell me, have you got any rogue beach flags or signs that I can chew on?
I don't today. Usually I bring them, but I don't. We will have a quiz coming up at the end. I don't think we've got any spoilerish stuff today, so the quiz will be at the end. I'm looking forward to it. It's going to be ridiculous. You were talking about animals that are green.
Yeah.
And it immediately made me think about the seagulls, or I think they're called the crows in God of War, which I've been playing on the PlayStation 4, which I've never played any of the God of War games.
Oh, they're good, aren't they?
I got this one, and I heard that a lot of people were saying it was amazing. I'm like, okay, I'll give it a go. But there's a sort of a side challenge where you've got to get all, I think there's 51 of these crows which are green.
Okay.
And you got to sort of
that sounds like
kill them.
The Arkham games where you've got to find the Riddler question marks.
It's exactly. I saw one, right, and it was just so far up in the sky. I'm like, I know I'm very, very powerful and strong, but I can't throw that axe that far up. I think I've got to find somewhere else.
Could
to
you get your
to
kid to shoot it with the bow and arrow?
No. Oh, I might try that. I might. give it a burl.
Could you throw your kid at it?
Wish I could, but I can't. That game's hard. Mm. In the way that games used to be when you were a kid. Do you remember you used to try and do one bit, like you get to a boss scene or whatever, and you die over and over and over and over again? And these days, games are a little easier.
It's a bit more spoon feed.
Yeah. This one does a bit of spoon feeding where the son will say, oh, look, there's something up there.
Okay.
And that's not something that used to happen in games. You used to spend hours trying to figure out where. But, oh, no, you die. Well, I do. Die over and over and over again on one small bit. I'm like, how do I get past this guy? So hard.
When you do get past it, it give you a great
sense. Yeah, you feel wonderful. Yeah. Of course, which you would never do if it was on an easier mode. So I'm enjoying it a lot. Mm-hmm. I haven't played too much of it, but apparently it's quite a long game. I'm not talking Witcher 3 long, but long. So I feel like I'm going to get my money's worth.
You're
going
to get to the top of that mountain and spread them ashes.
That's exactly what I have to do. Thought I was at the end for a while, and I went, geez, this game's really quick. And then there was a, oh, we have to do this first. I went, oh, it's one of those. Okay, I get you. So that's one of the things that I've been doing.
Yeah.
I guess I've been watching it.
Yeah.
I've been participating.
Sure, there's some cutscenes and stuff.
There are a few cutscenes.
Talking about feelings and
lots of feelings.
Lost mothers.
And boy, that's basically all I say. Boy. How did I do? You were sufficient. He's a man of few words. He really is. What else? What have you been watching?
So a few weeks ago, we talked about Bobcat Goldthwait's Misfits and Monsters.
Which I couldn't understand why this was a thing. He was a name from out of nowhere for me. A Police Academy was the last time I saw him, and they would have been 1980s movies. I don't even think they crept into the 90s, did they? Police Academy films?
I doubt it.
I know there were 45,000 of them, but I'm pretty sure that
they're still trying to get it going again now.
Why?
Because it's money, a brand people can go for. So I've seen the first two episodes of this anthology show, and they were great.
So just give us a sort of a premise in case people missed that episode where we spoke about it.
Sure. So he's created an anthology series where madcap things happen. Comedians are playing dramatic roles. The two episodes I've seen, the first one starring Seth Green. So it was very meta because he's the guy behind Robot Chicken.
Mm-hmm.
And it was about a young, relatively young guy who inherits the voiceover role for a character, for a bear. That. And the episode becomes like Roger Rabbit mixed with Cape Fear because the bear starts appearing in his vision and then starts threatening him. And we're not sure if it's all just in his head or not. And it's about him then having to track down the original voice.
Yeah.
So it's kind of like someone who'd taken over for Mel Blanc from Bugs Bunny.
Mm.
If Bugs started hunting and torturing their family, so they try and track down Mel Blanc.
Yikes.
Just so bizarre and out there. It was really good.
But does it make you want to watch more?
Oh, hell yeah. The next episode was David Koechner, who you'd know as Champ from the Anchorman movies?
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah.
So he is playing, and I wrote it down.
On Saturday Night Live for a while.
I think so.
Yeah.
I wrote it down because this isn't a sentence you could come up with. A 70s used car salesman, styled like Trump, gets coerced into running for president. And, oh, yeah, he's also a werewolf.
That's amazing.
And he doesn't hide the fact that he's a werewolf.
It's no secret.
People come to appreciate that and then decide that they want a werewolf for president because he's not going to let other countries boss them around. And it's so on the nose and obvious what this is going on about, but it's quite masterfully done.
It's not like a Black Mirror episode, but it kind of reminds me a little bit, just because of that.
It plays in that same space. There's always an element of technology, and there's also a big, I can't even think of the right way to, they're looking at collective consciousness type things,
right,
of what happens with all voices coming out of the same mouth.
Mentality kind of thing.
Yeah.
So if you have watched Black Mirror episodes and enjoyed them, this sounds like...
I would highly recommend this. It's only 20 minutes. They're comedy. They generally will end on a really lame dad joke intentionally.
Great.
That's, But very well written, well acted. I am excited and I'm going to watch the rest of the season for sure.
Nice podcast. They make them for men.
I've been watching, I've seen two episodes. I know there's more out of Sharp Objects. That's the Amy Adams TV
sure.
show.
How is it?
Well, the first episode, I was like, oh, yeah. Like, usually first episode, you're not quite sure what's going on. She's an alcoholic journalist who has been sent back to her hometown to cover missing girl. There's a murder mystery, okay. sort of missing teenager sort of thing. There's bits of flashback, and you're like, that looks a lot like Amy Adams. What's going on? They have cast an earlier... they've cast an actress, a younger actress, I swear. I thought it was CGI.
Wow.
Of Amy Adams. I don't know how they've done it. It's phenomenal. But she's got a lot of problems. And I thought with the first episode, oh, it'll start making sense in the second. I was still a bit confused in the second because there were a lot, not necessarily of the storyline, but you get these flashes. They might be two, not even that, maybe 1 second flashes of things. And you go, hang on, what was that? I missed it. I didn't get the context. Sure. I don't think we're supposed to get the context yet because I saw a couple of people on different forums sort of going, I don't know what's going on with Sharp Objects. I like it, but I don't know what I'm watching quite yet. And I think if we stick with it, we're going to figure it out. They're going to give us those sure. answers later. It's not going to be a Mulholland Drive thing
sure.
where it doesn't make any sense. I think it will. But, yeah, there's some phenomenal casting in there. There was a bit where Amy Adams and her mother were sort of sitting next to each other. And I went, they've got the exact same shaped nose, side on and front on. And this, you know, they're actors. They're obviously not related. But, geez, they've cast these people well.
That sounds awesome.
And people love those murder mystery that go for a whole series.
Yep.
And I think this one is well worth watching. I think it's a one kind of like Big Little Lies where you're going to have to watch it again. Once it's finished, wrapped up, go back and watch it again. I think it's going to make more sense to us.
There's nothing wrong with a good rewatch.
Look, I'm more than happy to get involved already. What else have you been watching?
So I'm rewatching two things. One, I rewatched all three seasons of Ballers.
Oh, yeah?
Because Ballers comes back early next month.
Oh, that's soon.
Yes, and it was interesting rewatching it again because there was a lot of telegraphing through season three. They've talked a little bit over the last week or two about what's happening in season four.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone's kind of moved to LA.
Right.
And rewatching it, you can see the seeds of that were all planted there in season three, but without that knowledge of it happening for season four, you don't know.
Gotcha.
So rewatching it with that knowledge, it's like, oh, I can see it. They're doing a soft reboot and you know, moving away from trying to build the NFL stadium. The best way to do that, hit the reset button and move to LA.
Yeah. And do you think that, I mean, not just for you, but for the audience in general, do you think that that's something that people will be happy with, or will they find the change? You know, sometimes when TV shows do things like that, people are either completely on board or you lose them, or you lose audience completely.
Look, I think there's enough people in the ensemble of that show that they will find excuses to go back to Miami because Miami has a very specific look and feel, and that's part of why they film there and not in LA. But on the flip side, they're going to get access to a whole bunch of different celebrities.
Yeah, true.
So it won't have to be just sporting and hip-hop people, which it's largely been so far.
Yeah.
There'll be some different circles they can move in.
Imagine if Steve Martin came in with his banjo.
Well, I'm really hoping that they're going to do talk some of the people that used to be on Entourage into coming to an Entourage crossover.
I reckon that would happen.
Well, they're both Mark Wahlberg shows.
Yeah.
They're both meant to exist in the same universe. Have an episode where they hang out with Vinny Chase.
Yeah, get Jeremy Piven in there.
Yep.
Amazing. Speaking of seeds that have been planted that come to fruition later, I've told you many times before that Wentworth does that.
Yes.
And something that happened at the beginning of this season, suddenly they did a big reveal and they're like, oh, wow, that's cool. They've got some pretty big Aussie actresses in there at the moment. They've got Sigrid Thornton.
Yep.
She's been in there since, I think, last season. Susie Porter came in.
Okay.
And Leah Purcell. And she's probably, for me, the most intriguing character at the moment. And it's the kind of show that has to do those soft restarts because they suddenly need to get rid of characters.
Sure. Bring in new blood.
Exactly. Yeah. And I feel that could easily be something that goes terribly wrong, because the audience may not warm to these characters, may not be intrigued with their storylines. But I think this season's shaping up to be really good and fresh. There are a couple of characters where I'm like, I don't care if you box or not.
They can't all work.
No, they can't.
I don't know. Do you watch Suits at all?
I've seen a few episodes.
Sure, I'm the same boat. I didn't keep up properly enough.
Yeah.
But they're about to go through that at the moment. I think Suits maybe dropped season 8 the other day.
Right.
And they've lost two of their main characters.
I wonder why one of them's gone.
And that character was married to the other character that's
gone.
Yeah,
right.
So narratively they've gone off to do their own, I believe, run a charity thing or something like that.
Oh, that's nice of them. Suits is one of those shows that you heard, particularly when Netflix in Australia started, people go, if you watch Suits, really good. And then a couple of weeks later when they sort of got later through their binging session, they go, I've stopped watching Suits.
Mm-hmm. They've discovered others.
Yeah, that's
it's
right.
It's a good entry drug.
Yeah, yeah.
So I watched Mr. Tachyon, which we discussed last week.
So what do you reckon?
It's pretty good.
Yeah?
The two episodes I saw, one was about do humans have some form of sixth sense? So he was investigating remote viewing, magnetic lines, all sorts of stuff about is there something that we've either evolved out of or it's turned,
ooh,
like gone dormant in our DNA.
Yeah.
Because there was a lot of theories that we used to travel via magnetic line, which is what birds do, what bees do, all this sort of stuff. Looking at mob mentality.
Mm.
So that was very
interesting. That sounds fascinating.
Yes, and that led directly into the next episode, which was, is everything in the universe connected, and talking about networked consciousness.
Yeah,
so,
right.
At what point does humanity act as a swarm, as a hive, this sort of stuff? Because there's great examples in nature, and was showing some of that stuff and then applying it to us of having to solve tasks as groups versus individuals. Mm. Groups generally performed better unless it was unless the objective wasn't clearly specified.
Okay.
So you needed a clear leader. You always needed a queen bee to get any sort of result. With that, it just fell apart. So it was really interesting to see that different diplomatic tactics shouldn't work and in nature wouldn't work. And it's a lot of this stuff like...
How is it working?
Yeah, but of how intelligence truly sets us apart from other species.
Mm.
And other species can have intelligence, but it's a networked intelligence. It's a sharing of knowledge between rather than a collection of knowledge for the individual.
The way that they delivered all of that information to the audience,
yes.
Was it overwhelming or was it palatable?
It was a mix of both.
Okay.
Mr. Tachyon himself speaks quite monotonely. That's his character.
Mm.
And that
can be difficult sometimes, to follow. And
yes. So when they had other people talking, it was a lot more lively, but
But still enjoyable, obviously.
Very enjoyable. They're discussing some really big, heady topics, but doing it in a reasonably palatable way.
That's good.
And relating it to nature or real-life situations so that you can understand what's getting ahead.
Yeah, perfect.
Not a real-life situation. I watched the first episode of TKO, Total Knockout.
You've been a bit keen for this.
I have been. It wasn't much chop.
Really?
Yeah, it was just like run across a pole and they're going to throw things at you and you fall off and you might not make some money. And
okay.
Kevin Hart screaming.
Lots of this.
At the moment, all I could see was just a screaming shark.
Yeah. So I'm going to stick just with Ninja Warrior because it's already like an hour and a half on a short show.
That's a fair slog, ninja. Isn't it?
I love my ninja. They're real athletes. Where Total Knockout was just like, nobody's getting smashed around.
It is a shame, but at the same time, at least it frees up that moment for you every week.
Very much so.
Yeah.
And look, the other one I've been keeping up with a bit is this Extinct or Alive, the guy that goes and finds things. He spent a lot of time looking for the Florida Black Panther.
Yes.
Black Panthers is something you and I have discussed an awful lot because there's the potential Blue Mountains Panther.
Yes.
The Melbourne Panther.
That's right.
There's all these different locations around Australia where they think it could be. Now, in Florida, they actually have a Florida Panther, a brown panther.
Right.
But no black one has ever been seen. But his investigation discovers that there is a giant black thing out there, but it's a canine. So he might have discovered a type of wolf that was not expected to live in that southern area of America at all.
That's what I was going to say. You don't expect wolves to be in really hot tropical areas.
No. And,
well,
you know,
I don't.
Some people were saying this could be a coyote, and then the paw print that he found would be the largest coyote paw print ever recorded.
Oh, wow. So either way, it's an amazing find.
Yeah, so he probably discovered it a... The episode, by the end, basically had a big line through what the topic was instead of Florida Black Panther, Florida Black Wolf.
So it's many... He's managing to do a fair bit of...
He's a legit biologist.
Yeah, and discovery.
I'm really impressed. The next one that he turned his attention to, yep. Tasmanian tiger.
Ah, cool.
Near and dear to all our hearts.
Of course.
And there's just a lot of evidence. And he's been to search for it before in Tasmania, yeah. Didn't find too much. But this time, up at bloody Cape York.
Huh?
Yeah, there's a lot of sightings and reported things of a creature that is dingo-esque but striped and
interesting.
Not a canine.
Interesting.
Yeah.
In Cape York.
Yeah.
Okay.
So way up north there.
Huh.
Didn't find too much specific evidence, but we'll be coming back. It is widely recognised as the most likely still surviving extinct creature. That thing
isn't just, that amazing?
Just because in terms of per capita...
I've never even heard of it.
Well, people in Australia, you know, we're so yeah. tightly condensed in certain areas that there's huge swathes of land where things could be existing.
Just so humans don't hang out
call then. It by its proper name, if you like, the Thysaline.
Yep.
Or Tasmanian tiger. Either way, I'm pretty on board to see it come back. I think the last time one was seen was in about 1932,
33? Yeah, the last one, which was at a zoo.
Yeah.
And they have looked at the DNA of that tiger to try and... I don't know whether they were intentionally trying to clone, but they were definitely looking at the possibility.
Of, yes.
And I don't think they had enough. The sample was too old. Yeah. I think. That was a while ago.
That was though. A while ago. I think they're trying to do the similar things. So all the talk about bringing back dinosaurs, it's very nice what was in Jurassic Park, but the real way they could achieve a similar thing of a facsimile of a dinosaur... They're working with chickens and turning on and off genomes within the chickens. So they're making chickens that have teeth.
Yep.
That have...
Sounds frightening.
Long tails, actual fingers rather than just claws, things yes. like this. So you're able to operate with that sort of stuff. So we'll be able to make something that looks like a dinosaur.
Close enough.
So in the same way they could mess with different...
It's not out of the realms of possibility. Marsupial. If you can do it with one, you could surely do it with the other.
That's right. I was going to say, Mission Impossible 6 comes out on Thursday.
Mm-hmm.
I rewatched 4 and 5, Ghost Protocol and Rogue Nation, because they're great names. I forgot how damn fun these films are.
I've seen the first 3.
I had done the same thing, and then I've been like, I've seen enough of them. 4 and 5 are great.
Really?
Really good action movies.
Okay.
Oh, yeah.
Where? Which one, was it 2 or 3 that was set, well, part of it set in
2.
Sydney? That was 2.
Yes.
So that was the Nicole Kidman
years. And that, for my money, is the low point of the series.
I thought the first one was awesome.
First one's great. Yeah. Second one was, yeah. Third one, Philip Seymour Hoffman, starts improving. The fourth and fifth. I'd seen him back there, but I just didn't give him the credit they deserved. Watching them back to back was great, and
yeah,
I am
right.
amped for number 6.
Okay, and that's soon, did you say?
Thursday.
Oh, my goodness.
I know, I'm going to...
Like today, for the podcast release.
Pretty much.
Wow.
Yeah, so I'll for you listeners, and only you, I will jump on the grenade and go and see it stat. We can discuss next week.
He's the hero we've always needed.
You know, he updated his bio recently, Tom yeah. Cruise. It now just says, running on films since 1981. That's what the Mission Impossible films are. Like, let's watch Tom Cruise run.
That's amazing. Are you ready to get into a quiz?
Yeah.
Now, look, we got an email this week.
We did?
Yeah, thanks to Jonathan. He emailed us a quiz idea at the Watchers Podcast at gmail.com.
Thanks, John.
He said, hey, guys, I've got a quiz idea and I'm pretty sure you haven't done it yet.
Mm-hmm.
And he was right. He said, names famous bands originally used. He said, I always love the quiz. It's the favourite part of the podcast for me. So
okay.
We're going to do it.
All right.
I'm going to give you the original names. You've got to try and figure out who the band is.
Sure.
Based on poor quiz. Clues that I give you.
Okay.
Cara's Flowers. They're American. They came around probably mid-2000s. They're still around. The lead singer, I think he thinks he's better looking than he actually is, and he's got a lot of tattoos.
I was going to say The Killers.
No.
But a lot of
similar
tattoos.
Similar era, though. They teamed up with Christina Aguilera for one song about a Rolling Stones singer.
Oh, Maroon 5.
Yeah.
You know, I hate Maroon 5.
I know you do. That's why I put it in there. Cara's Flowers, they were going to call themselves.
Oh, it's more appropriate.
Do you think Cara's Flowers also sounds like a band name that Coldplay would have thought about
yeah.
calling themselves?
Yeah.
Okay, I don't think you're going to get this one.
All right, stump me.
The young Aborigines. Awesome. Clue, they're not from Australia. I think they're from New York, three blokes, based in the rapping world.
Oh, Beastie Boys.
Beastie Boys, yeah. Jeremy explained, he said, I even bought a record of Australian Aboriginal music for inspiration, and then we decided to go with a different name. It was probably a good idea.
Probably for the best.
Yeah, exactly. How do you come up with some of that? Okay, all right, here's another one.
This is a group that talked about a brass monkey being like a brass monkey.
That's true.
It's funky brass monkey.
Funky brass monkey.
Yeah, I don't know. They like wordplay.
Yeah, they do.
We'll permit it.
This is a name that the actual band name that they went with is one that I haven't heard of for a while, but this band was originally going to call themselves the Shrinky Dinks. They're American. They're from the late 90s, possibly early 2000s. Think like Smash Mouth sort of era. And they sang a song about every morning there's a halo.
Oh, Sugar Ray.
Yeah. Do you remember Sugar Ray?
Yeah, I saw them open for Live.
What? Yeah. You went to Live?
Yeah, you know,
Live. Yeah, the Dolphins live. Cry. Very passionate with their songs, Live.
Yep.
Sugar Ray less so.
I don't know. They had fun.
Do you remember he ended up doing an entertainment sort of show? Sort
he's
of
still like, doing it.
He still does it?
Yeah, he's part of the E! Network.
Oh, wow.
He does very well for himself. People, when they like to piss him off, they ask him if he's Ryan Seacrest's dad.
That's great.
Yep.
All right, what about this one? Okay. Tony Flo and the Miraculously Majestic Masters of Mayhem. This band likes long names. They're definitely from California. They're from LA. They're
Red Hot Chili Peppers.
Yeah.
I was going to say Godspeed You Black Emperor, which is one of my favorite long band
That's
names.
A great name. Yeah, Red Hot Chili Peppers, Tony Flo. I'm guessing Tony as in Anthony Kiedis.
That would make sense. Yeah.
Got two more. This one was easy. Well, it's quick. Smile, English band from the 70s.
Black Sabbath?
No, lead singer. It's one word. They went for one word band name in the end. The lead singer is probably one of the most iconic
Queen.
Voices, yeah, out there, Freddie Mercury.
Okay.
Queen. Wanted to go with Smile.
Why not?
I went with Queen instead. Final one.
All right.
English as well. The Obelisk.
Oh, that's Led Zeppelin.
Oh, no.
No,
it's
Pink
not.
Floyd.
No, you got to go into the 80s for these guys. They're English. They liked cats. They liked Love Cats in particular.
Oh, it's Robert Smith.
Robert Smith, The Cure.
Yeah.
Would have gone with Obelisk.
Sure.
But I guess maybe they were big fans of Asterisk and they thought, well, if we call ourselves Obelisk, people are going to ask where Asterisk is all the time and we don't want to answer.
This is very true.
Yeah.
So when you say Obelisk, I think of, I think it's Pink Floyd. Didn't they have the thing on their covers?
On their covers, yeah. Pink Floyd? Yeah. Do you know, I get them and Dire Straits sometimes mixed up. And
sure.
I know they can... Not anything alike.
Dire Straits, money for nothing.
Yeah,
chicks
for free. That's going to do it for us this week. But we'll, of course, be back next week for all newsy stuff and maybe less shark costumes.
Depends how many requests we get.
Can I just say I'm very impressed you stayed in the suit the whole time.
If we get enough love, I might come back as Bruce. Hello. From Finding Nemo.
Finding Nemo, brilliant.
Why not?
Tom, thank you very much.
Fish are friends.